Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the social program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning, right up till 10 a.m. And we continue with our book, Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Al-Arifi. And today, inshallah, we'll be starting a new chapter, chapter number 24, Be Concerned About Others. To tell us more about this, we do have Murana Ibrahim Baum on the program, who joins us telephonically this morning. Murana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam.
We trust that you are doing well this morning, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, with the grace and fadl of Almighty Allah.
Right, as I alluded, chapter 24, Be Concerned About Others.
Yes, Murana, as an introduction to this chapter, Be Concerned About Others, it is such an important facet of our life. People are... naturally, they have certain human instincts, and one of the instincts is people like to be valued. People like to be noticed. People want that they must be treated well. So that is why one sees individuals at time in certain matters sometimes do things to attract attention. You find it with your spouse, you find it with your children, you find it among siblings. You find it a lot of times among siblings that if, for example, one sibling is sick, then the other would feign sickness with the intention of also being attracted. Also, people must look at him, because all of a sudden they see that the parents' attention are towards one of the siblings. So they will do something to attract the attention. So people might even invent tales or stories of their own valor and bravery so that people may show them concern or be amazed by them. Now, this aspect of human instinct, this natural feeling of a human being that he wants people to value him. What did our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do in this regard? What did the Sahaba do? This is the focus of our topic today and the focus of our program today. And inshallah we will show that how important this facet is towards better human relationships.
Mm-hmm. The lines will be open, 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Alternatively, the WhatsApp studio number is 072-786-1548, and the number on Mulana Palm's side is 083-786-2859. Remember, the objective of discussing all these things is to implement it in our lives and how it can be reduced to our lives, and how we can, inshallah, imbibe within us these examples of seerah that are discussed in these chapters. Stay tuned to Radio Islam Internet. Yes, chapter 24 of the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Al-Arifi, and today's chapter is Be Concerned About Others. Manana, we may commence, inshallah.
Yes, Manana. As I said, it is a natural human instinct that people want to be valued. People like the aspect of people giving them attention. You know, Aristotle, the famous Greek poet, philosopher, had said, the root cause of all enmity and hostility is when a person feels slighted, when a person feels that he is not given attention and importance. And this is the fact of the matter. It's an important point. It's no use saying that why should you have importance, and the Sufis say that you must complete and destroy your nafs and everything all in its place. But it's a natural human instinct that he wants importance from important people in his life and the people who are around him. That is what our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Now imagine a person who returns home from work and he's tired. He enters his sitting room and he enters his house and he finds his four children sitting alone. And every one of those four children, out of them, the three are busy with something. Someone might be watching something, someone might be busy with his computer, someone will be busy with his studies, the other one will be busy with his work and his studies, and all of a sudden the one out of the four comes and hugs the father, and he comes and he tells him, how was your day, this is what happened to me, and he shows him respect, he shows him care, he shows him concern. Now out of those four, which of the four children would be the most beloved to the father? The author says, I say with certainty that our response would be the same. The most beloved of them would, of course, be that child, not because of his beauty or his intelligence, but only because he showed his father that he valued him. Hence, the more one cares for others, the greater their love and respect will be for him. The more you show love, respect and care for others, the more would be their love for you. And this is the reality. And the way the author had concluded this chapter by saying, experience tells us that whenever you show people that you value and you care for them, you capture their hearts and others and are thus endeared to them. And this is what we find in the time of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of creation would consider these factors in people. And I want people, our listeners, to tell us how by showing care and concern to others, how they have responded, and how you yourself have responded when people have showed you care and concern, and how you have responded when people have not shown you care and concern. The best of creation would consider these factors in people. He would make everyone feel that their problem was in fact his own problem. And the worry was indeed his own worry. Once when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood on his pulpit to address the people, a man entered the mosque and he saw Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He entered the masjid. He looked at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, "O Messenger of Allah," and then began to ask him about his religion, for he knew little about Islam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned to him and noticed that he was a villager, he was a Baddu, who might not have been able to wait for the sermon to finish in order to obtain an answer. He feared that the man would leave the masjid and never return. The issue was of utmost importance to the person to such an extent that he had interrupted the sermon in order to ask about Islam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was thinking of this matter from the perspective of others and not his own. Thus he descended from the noble pulpit and called for a chair to be brought. He sat in front of the man and began teaching and explaining religious rulings to him until he understood. He then stood up and returned to his pulpit to finish his sermon. How great he was. How persevering he was. He was our Nabi, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the example that we are supposed to follow. Give everyone attention. Be concerned about others. Show people that you care for them. That will bring wonders into their life.
Yes, essentially what the author is saying, that how do you make people feel at the end of the day? You might extract work from people, and if you're not concerned about their well-being, it just leaves a bad taste. Like you are phoning somebody, together with work, you first ask him, how's Papa doing, how's Ami doing, your son was not feeling well. The person feels nice because you're concerned about them. And thereafter, you introduce whatever you want to talk about work. So instead of, as opposed to calling one shot and giving out dictating work, you find if you take this approach, people will be more closer to you and people will revere you. So like the author is saying, that people want to be valued and they want to see that you are concerned about them.
There are many examples from Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, how he gave everyone recognition. And even today we take it for granted, even our own spouse, they do everything on our daily basis, we do for them. We might be taking things for granted, they might be taking things for granted. And it is so important from time to time just to stop from your daily grind and to be able to just give care, give attention, give a compliment now and then, give a gift, change the routine from time to time. Instead of doing one particular meal, sometimes you go out just to change the routine. Not necessarily that there is a sense of laziness from the spouse that she don't want to cook, or for example that you finding the food boring, but just to change the routine from time to time. I think it makes a big difference. And I think this aspect of giving each and everyone care and concern and paying a compliment is essential, especially in the age that we are living in, where individualism and the good feel good factor is constantly being portrayed through the means of the media.
And in terms of being valued, and this is maybe we can learn from the other companies. You see, they have special awards and acknowledgements and they have special ceremonies for people who achieve excellent results in the company. Not so much more in the Indian communities, not so much more in the Indian companies. Maybe something we can learn. The person does feel slighted at the end of the day. I mean, it's easy to be said, yeah, you must do it for Allah's pleasure, don't worry, don't look for name, fame. But like you said in the initial stages, that sometimes it's a human need and you need to value the person in order to get more out of him. And it's not like you're looking for it, but you feel when somebody acknowledges it, you want to push more and get even more results. But when you feel slighted, you don't want to do anything. You don't want to go the extra mile at all.
Definitely. 100%. And I'll just give an example. I can see Nabi Karim saw some one day, as the grandfather was taking his grandson, I think it was Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, on his back. And he was taking him around, and one Sahabi came and he saw this, and maybe in a tinge of envy he said that, oh Hussein, how lucky you are, you got such a beautiful mount. You are mounted upon the greatest human being Allah has created. How lucky you are. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that his grandson must not feel in any way overawed by the situation, he told the Sahabi, what a great rider I have on my back. So there, Hazrat Hussein was 6 years, or 6 or 7 years when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. It happened before that, but he gave that young grandchild such importance. And this is how actually we build relationships, by affirming someone, validating someone, giving someone importance, just by few compliments, not taking things for granted. The husband works so much, he makes appointments, and he does this, and he does this in his business, to be able to give a comfortable standard of living for the wife. The wife, on the other hand, sees to the house, or sometimes she's also working depending on situations, and she looks after the possessions of the husband with great amount of, in fact, sometimes the husband would spend upon friends, but the wife would be more concerned with regard to the spending, and she won't spend so much. So all of that is so important that we, from time to time, give importance, compliment, be affirmed, validate, which is so much important. And what happens, those type of issues, you might be doing something on a daily basis for your husband, for example, or vice versa, and no one recognizes that. No one sees that. But all of a sudden, the one aspect that you have just taken a step beyond the routine, that comes to mind. That when I was in difficulty, my husband did this for me. When I was in this situation, my wife did this for me. From time to time, he does this to me. That becomes the point of keeping a relationship going more than what you do as a routine on a daily basis.
Yes, Amullah, I think you hit the nail on the head. The key word is validation. And I think sometimes you get caught up in this. The husband, for example, comes home. It's like he has come from conquering the world. And he might invalidate the feelings of his wife or his partner for that matter. Like, what did you do besides menial tasks? So sometimes what we're saying is that showing concern means showing validation for the opposite person's work and the contribution that they are making to your life. And likewise, the other way around, for the wife also, to show the same validation. And part of showing concern is to give value to what your husband is doing to the home. And I think when we lose that, that's when the problem comes up, is when we feel we are not valued and we are putting so much, there's no acknowledgement and there's nothing happening, Mara.
Definitely. The author is given one very long incident, but after giving this long incident, he had just said the point that he would like to have addressed was just towards the end of the incident. And so what I'm going to do, I'm not going to give the entire incident. It's a famous incident. Fazail-e Amal, Hazrat Shaykh Hamdullah Ali, has also made mention of it, that when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said for Tubuma, can I carry on with it? Any messages? We would like to listen from the listeners. Really, how by showing extra concern, how your relationship is bettered, and how sometimes you feel inadequate in the relationship because your feelings have been ignored. Your feelings haven't been taken into account. I think it's such an important point. And I don't know if are we exaggerating it, but I think it's an important point. And maybe listeners can maybe concur, or maybe could even say that it's not important because we feel that we are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I still feel that human beings are human beings. They do have these natural tendencies, and we have to keep this in mind. So let us look at this. Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik, very good sahabi, well known to the ashab, well known to Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, loved by Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a sincere sahabi. As Nabi Sallam tell the people to get ready for Tabuk, Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik prepares his camels. He is now happy that he is going to be amongst those who is going to take part in the battle. But because his camel is so fresh, and he had two wives, and amongst his he had possessions, he had a garden, so it was very hot, so people used to go and stay at the garden, and because of the, to save themselves from the heat. And as Nabi Akram Sallam is leaving, Ka'b bin Malik says, we spend another day or two. I got a fast camel. I will catch up with Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Hazrat Ka'b said, I was the wealthiest I had ever been at that time. My financial position was good. I had managed to accumulate two camels. I found myself physically being the strongest that I ever been. I inclined towards the shade and sweetness of fruits and remained so until Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to leave. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued. I said, I will go tomorrow to the marketplace and buy something for the expedition and join them later. But as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam left, I was supposed to go the next day. I said, I'll go the following day. And I continued until I was left behind in Medina. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam marches with 30,000 sincere companions in difficult situation to Tabuk. Right? He looked at the face of his companions and looked at the beauty of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Out of 30,000, he witnessed that Ka'b bin Malik is not there. This is the very same thing I'm talking of, affirmation and validation. So easy in the midst of 30,000 to forget. And someone gave me a CD last week of Marhum Hafiz Patel, Rahmatullah Ali. And I was listening to him in the car, and someone, while speaking to me, said he had this amazing quality that when he used to go to a place, he used to call out even for the small children. So if a person has four or five children, and three or four of them used to come, but you say, where is that one? And the youngsters used to feel so affirmed and validated that a great buzruk and a great person whom people used to regard as highly, when he used to come in the home and he didn't see one of the brothers, he used to ask for him. Now, out of 30,000, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam could see, where's Ka'b bin Malik? So this, when this happened, one of the sahaba said he has been prevented by his two burdas, his two cloaks. And he's looking at his own flanks with pride. He's looking after his wife and looking after his wealth. To this, Mu'az ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu replied, how evil is what you have said by Allah. O Messenger of Allah, we have not known anything but good from him. He's a sincere sahabi. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent. Ka'b continued when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam finished with the expedition and he started coming back. I started feeling very, very guilty. And I said, I was supposed to join this expedition. I didn't go. Now what's the use? So he said, all of a sudden, when this thing came, I came in my mind that when Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes back, I will give him this excuse, that excuse. And through the means of the excuses, I will say I was not well, my family wasn't well, this wasn't right, and I couldn't come to the expedition. But he said, as I came closer, and when Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, and I said, how am I going to lie to the Nabi of Allah? Allah will inform him. Mm-hmm. So he said, I went in front of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, you know, many of the munafiqs came and they gave many excuses. Allah Ta'ala in the 10th surah of the Quran has made mention that Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam never regarded seriously the munafiq when they came and gave excuses. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, it's your mamla and your matter is with Allah. And he left it. But when Ka'b bin Malik came, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I also thought of giving different types of excuses, but I knew that it will not happen. You would come to know about it. And I don't want to lie in front of you. You are the Nabi of Allah. The fact of the matter is my laziness, my neglect. I was supposed to join you. I had my camels ready. Everything was ready. I was strong. I said, I'm going to join you. But something happened. I dragged my feet. And he felt remorse. And you know, now, and when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard Allah will decide with regard to you. So when he went away, some of his companions said, why did you speak the truth? Why didn't you tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam something? What happens now? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to be angry with you. You know, and then he asked, who amongst the sincere companions didn't go with. And he said, Murrah bin Rabi and Hilal bin Umayyah. These were two righteous men who had witnessed the Battle of Badr. You know, so I had some consolation. There were two sincere Sahaba. Many of them who had not taken part were munafiqs, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't worry about them. And this is the fact. You worry more about those who are close to you, who are sincere to you if they do anything wrong. If someone who is hostile to you does something wrong to you, you don't worry about it. So in this way, you know, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then forbade the people from speaking to Ka'b and his two companions. And he said, this was the most difficult time of my life. I would enter the mosque and approach Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and greet him. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam shouldn't greet back because there was a social boycott upon these three people. Why didn't they attend this expedition when it was a criteria and barometer for iman? Right? I used to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's lips. Are they moving when I say salam? And if it was moving, I would have felt that at least he's saying, and he's returning to my salam silently. And he was a leading person. He was a poet. People used to look up upon him. His poetry circulated among the great, that they would long to meet him. Yet here he was among, in Medina, among his own people, completely forlorn. Completely no one used to, because when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave a command, such a leader, everyone followed. And he said, one day I was in that situation when I saw a marketplace, there was a Christian rider who came from Syria. He asked, who is Ka'b bin Malik? And people took him to Ka'b bin Malik and he came. And he said, my leader has come to know that you have been boycotted. And my leader has written a letter to you that if you feel away from your own people and you feel that they have not given you value and they have not given you your attention that you deserve, that you must come over. He will give you value. And Ka'b started crying. And he said, what a situation has come that even those who are hostile to us are writing to me to say that I must come on their camp. When I'm a sincere believer, I want to be with the believers. What a great calamity that the people of disbelief have now shown interest in me. This is indeed a great calamity and evil. He then went with a letter. He set it alight and burnt it. He don't even consider the king's offer for a moment. You know, the doors were opened to him to the king's palaces and the mansions of the great who would invite him to honor, while the city of Medina around him censured him. And people frowned in his face. He would greet people. None would return his greeting. He would ask. None would respond. Despite that, he did not turn to the disbelievers. Shaitan failed to shake him or make him a slave to his desire. He simply tossed the letter into the fire and let it burn. Thus the days passed. And 40 days had passed when a messenger from the Prophet ﷺ came knocking to his door. And Ka'b went out hoping that he might have some concessions, only to find the message saying, the messenger orders that you distance yourself from your wife. He said, should I divorce her? He said, no, but keep your distance from her and do not approach her. Thereupon, Ka'b went to his wife and told her, and she immediately went back to her family and stayed with them until Allah decrees for us in this matter. The Nabi of Allah said, I must stay away from you. And she went away to her family. Ka'b also allowed her because it was the command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent the same message to his two companions. The wife of Hilal bin Umayyah came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, Hilal is very old. Give me permission to serve him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, yes, but do not let him approach you. So Hilal bin Umayyah's wife was given concession to serve the husband. The days became very difficult. It became such a great difficulty that one day I went to my very close cousin Abu Qatada. He was sitting over a wall, complete in privacy. No one was there to see him. So I thought, he's alone. I'm alone. Let me go and speak to him just to relieve some of my burden. And there's no one there, so he won't be feeling that if I speak to him, the people are going to tell Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that I spoke to Ka'b despite the social boycott. So I went to Abu Qatada. I said, Abu Qatada, you are very close to me. You know me in and out. You know I'm a sincere believer. You know I'm not a munafiq. You know I'm not a hypocrite. You know it was only my neglect. It was not anything else that had happened. Speak to me. And he just turned around. He said, that was a very difficult day for me. Someone who was so close to me. And he said, 50 days and nights had passed and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade the people to speak to them. On the 50th night, it was revealed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the last third of the night, that the repentance of the three people had been accepted. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wanted to set a precedence the values and the interests of the community and the deen is more important than individual interests. At that time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in the house of Umm Salma. Umm Salma heard the wahi, and she said, should I not tell the people of Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed her, and she shouted from her room to the people who were sitting in the masjid, O people, bear glad tidings. Allah has announced the forgiveness and the lifting of the social boycott upon the three people. And Kaab said, I had prayed Fajr on the rooftop of one of the houses. I was sitting in that state completely forlorn. What's going to happen to me? What happens if I die in this condition, or the Nabi of Allah die in this condition? I will remain like this forever. And then I heard someone from a distance coming and said, O Kaab, hear glad tidings. Allah has announced your forgiveness. And Allah has announced your forgiveness. So he said, when I heard this, I climbed down from the roof, and I ran to the Masjid al-Nabawi. And then he said, when I went to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Talha, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it was Talha bin Ubaidullah, he said, before I met Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Talha bin Ubaidullah came and he embraced me, and he hugged me in such a way that I can still remember the sweetness of that hug. And he told me, Allah's glad tidings upon you. You are so fortunate that your tawbah has been accepted. And there is a Quranic ayah that has been revealed with regard to you. عَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى ذَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُوَتْ وَذَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَزَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَعَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. That the earth, despite its vastness, became constrained upon you, became narrow upon you. And upon this, you know, so he said, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam greeted me. But he said, he then even came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm prepared to sacrifice all my wealth in the path of Almighty Allah, to give it out in the path. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, keep something for yourself. But what he said was, the point to note in the story, he always used to say, I remember how Talha bin Ubaidullah hugged and embraced me. I'll never forget that. The point to note in this entire story is that Talha, when he saw Kaab, he stood up, hugged and congratulated him. Hence, Kaab's admiration increased for him so much that he would say after Talha's death, while narrating the story for years, by Allah, I will never forget what Talha did. And what did Talha do to captivate the heart of Kaab? He demonstrated a great skill by showing concern for him and sharing in his moment of happiness with him.
Allah.
And hence he became beloved to Kaab. Share happiness with people. Share your concern with them. Share your grief, their grief with them. That is the key to winning the hearts of people.
Yes, amazing. Here there is a social boycott imposed on the three companions that stayed away from Tabuk. And here, when the news is broken that Allah has forgiven them, one of the first people to congratulate and embrace them was Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This left such an indelible impression on Kaab radiallahu ta'ala anhu that years after that he would still narrate the incident and speak in glowing terms of Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that's what the author is emphasizing.
There comes such a certain situation in your life. I'll tell you about one incident of my own. When my father passed away, Allah Ta'ala grant him rahmat and barakah, and Allah elevate his status. And obviously it was an emotional moment, and more emotional when you were just coming out of the qabr after putting your father's body in the qabr. And as you came out, there was a person who has since passed on. I still just remembered, as I see you coming out of the qabr, you are emotionally charged, you're crying, and he just sort of smothered me, he took me in his arms and he hugged me. And he passed on. I went to tell one day his son. He said, I always remember your father. He said, why? He said, as I was coming out of the qabr, he just saw me crying and he just took me and he just hugged me. And I still remember that. He might not have been a prominent person, but just because of that one small incident, I remember him. So sometimes a person does something at the opportune time in sharing your happiness, sharing your grief, and you remember it for the rest of your life.
Ya Allah. Yes, the lines are open. 0118541548. The SMS line 0727861548 or 48855. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we return, inshallah, we'll take some of the messages that have come through.
When you're after a trusted brand like Toyota, you want the same kind of expertise and reliability you'd expect from one of their top dealerships. Before buying your next Toyota, come in and speak to the professionals at Freeway Toyota. Whether it's a Corolla, Yaris, Auris, or Hilux you're looking for, don't sign up until you've spoken to one of our highly qualified team of sales professionals. We will not only match, but beat any written quote. Give us a call or come in for a test drive. 011-661-0000.
Pack it, fill it, close it, store it, pour it, throw it, zip it, sip it, or just stash it. You've got it. Stash It Distributors, for all your packaging and baking requirements. Stash It Distributors, 6 Clare Road, Fordsburg, 011-492-0033.
Assalamu alaikum Yusuf bhai.
Walaikum salam Musa bhai.
Yusuf bhai, I was kurbani no hu karwana. Bakra lawana ke hu.
Are bhai, I'm making one kurbani at home to keep the spirit of kurbani alive. And the balance of the kurbani I'm sending to Crescent of Hope. They make kurbani to all the needy, locally or internationally.
Are Yusuf bhai, mashallah, boharu bhai, boharu. Where can I find this Crescent of Hope?
Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah. 137 Rose Avenue, Lanesia, 011-8 527370.
Everything changes. There's a new phone launched every month. A new car every two. Computers aren't what they used to be. And information is at the palm of our hand. Everything changes. But we as humans remain the same. We still laugh, we still smile, and we still fall ill. No matter what changes, we always need care and health care. Donate to Radio Islam's Mobile Clinic Initiative and afford the less fortunate the care they deserve.
This is a social program with Maulana Ibrahim Bum. Call 011-854-1548. Tweet at Ibrahim Bum.
Quite a few messages coming through. Before we go to the messages, let's take the callers first. Brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamualaikum, salam, Molana. Today you made me cry also, Molana, bam.
MashaAllah.
Molana, you know this the story you related now, this from the hadith, this, when I was, many, many years ago, about 30 years ago, they took me for the first time for 3 days, and they gave me the talim to conduct. Did you hear me, Mosab?
Yeah, loud and clear.
And by coincidence, I was given this study to read. And when I came to this story, Moshab, I couldn't finish the talim. I cried so much. In the end, the Amir had to take somebody else and give him the kitab and said, go compose yourself. Because it's a very, very sad story, Moshab. But it teaches you a lot of things about forgiveness and patience for people's failings. It teaches you a lot of things, Moshab.
Definitely.
If your Amir at that time would seize the opportunity to address the issue, instead of asking you to compose yourself, he would have won more hearts also.
No, you know what happened, Mosab? I'll be very honest with you. I had just graduated from university, and I was very, very far from Deen. And these friends, these Jamaat brothers, came and they made my tashkil, and they forced me to just come for 3 days, come for 3 days. And when I broke down, then my Amir came to me and he said, do you know that these are tears of acceptance? Because I cried the night before and said, Allah, accept me also, you know?
Mashallah.
Because those days, Mashallah, because we were university graduates, we were full of all this worldly nonsense in our heads. We never used to make daily namazes. We only used to make Juma namaz. I listen on air, Mashallah.
Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah so much. That story is so tragic. What I found amazing is that although the focal point of relating this incident under this chapter was only the last point, but yet the way the author had made mention of the entire point, and yes, the entire incident, and yes, there are such beautiful incidents like that. For example, the disbeliever writing the letter, come over to us, we will give you respect, we will give you importance. I wonder what happens today if someone was to be in that situation, you know, but despite that, the steadfastness of faith,
the steadfastness of the Sahaba. That even in silence, when he came and approached his cousin who was close to him, the Nabi of Allah said, I'm not going to speak to you. He just walked away. You know, this is Ta'at-e Amir, listening to an Amir. So I think these are such important points. And then, of course, what he remembered most was about Talha bin Ubaidullah hugging him. And he said, I will never forget this for the rest of my life. He shared in my happiness. How many times you can say with regard to another person, he shared in my happiness. He shared in my grief. And that makes a big difference.
Yes, indeed, brother, some wonderful SMSs coming through. Allow me to read some of them.
Yeah.
It reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the old days, our grandfather had some trade, and my grandfather used to take a bus from here to Johannesburg to earn a living for his family. At times on his return, because of not earning enough, he did not have enough bus fare to come back home. So he used to go to a non-Muslim friend, and these are two Hindu brothers, and they had a great liking for my grandfather, and they helped him out, and my dad still tells us of this action, and to date we still respect and appreciate what this man did for our grandfather. It's actions like these that one does not forget.
Just repeat that again, Mona, if it's possible, those two.
Yeah, basically, Mona, the grandfather used to travel to Joburg, and he used to do business there, and he used to take the bus. At times, he never made enough money to return home by the bus, so he would go to his Hindu friends, and the Hindu friends would help him out and make him come back home. So the father would narrate the story to the children, and the children say, till today, we have high regard for the Hindu gentleman who would help the grandfather out.
Mm-hmm. So important, subhanAllah.
The next one says, Mulana, Assalamu alaikum, Mulana, if we do for the pleasure of Allah, there needs to be some sort of appreciation, because Allah states that those who not thank insan has not thanked Allah. And that's what people of today don't even show the appreciation, and it is hurtful. And this I know because I go through it daily. I also feel ulama should bring this topic up in the masajid, and many wives and daughters-in-law are going through this. It's very depressing.
Yes, I know this. Many wives and daughter-in-laws do a lot, but they don't get appreciated. And yes, it's bound to have an impact upon them. They are also human beings. They are also insan. And sometimes you bring people into your own homes, you have to give them that type of recognition also, definitely.
Well, the author brought a very fascinating point in the starting. He says sometimes you even make up stories,
yes,
just to get attraction and just, yes, to get attention from the person who is close to you.
Definitely, you do that. I mean, we see that with children. And after all, human beings are also have children-like instincts. Maybe they cover it, but in reality they do have that. And from time to time it manifests itself. For example, I'll just give you another example. And of course, you know, the author has given one beautiful example. Just imagine a person's father is in hospital. And his friends, he's a very popular person with his friends. So one of the friends phoned him and said, come, let us go out. And he said, no, my father is in hospital. I've got to look after him. And he's not well. And this friend shows great amount of sensitivity. How is your father? Can I come and visit him? And then after a few hours, in the evening, he phones him again. How is your father? Is he feeling a little better? Is there anything that I can do for you? Is there anything I can fetch? Can I go and fetch one of the family members to come up and down? Do you need transport? And said, another friend phones and says, what's happening? Where are you? We want to go out. He said, no, my father is ill. And that friend says, I mean, the nurses will look after him. Come, let's go out for a coffee. Or let's go out for a picnic. Let's go out for the weekend. He said, out of those two friends, who will this person appreciate? Which friend? That friend who told him that, listen, your father, your nurse will look after your father. Let's go out for the weekend. Or that friend who showed sensitivity, who showed concern, who after a while even picked up the phone and said, how is your father? Obviously, that first type of friend would be the one that you would value, because he had shown concern for you at your time of difficulty. And I think that is so important. And the author gives, can I continue, Mona?
Sure, Mona.
Yes. If anyone wants to, this is such a wonderful topic, and there are so many life experiences. If people would like to share, someone has even sent such a beautiful message to say that it has answered so many of my questions, which I have been grappling with, alhamdulillah. So one of the most upsetting things ever happened to me says the author, when I was in Jeddah for a few days, and I received a text message from my brother, and he says my brother was Saud, which they were, may Allah grant you befitting patience, your cousin had passed away in Germany. So I called my brother, who told me that his cousin of ours was elderly, had traveled for a few days.
Maulana, can I interject if you don't mind?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Call us there. Okay, let's go to the lines. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Jee, sister. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum as-salam. How are you, Maulana Baam and Maulana Habib?
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, Zakallah, for the loving Prabhu of Maulana Baam. I'd like to say, I'm an old age woman, and I have a lot of time for old people. Whenever I have time, I will try and visit them and make them happy. Yes, as a young man, a young 18-year-old son, from the time of his birth, Maulana, he can't talk, he can't walk, he can't do anything. He's bedridden, and his mummy and daddy look after him very, very well. And when I go and visit him, he is so happy. So happy that he smiles all the time. Although he can't talk, he makes a noise to say he's very happy. I always pray for them, Allah Pak. People that are in that position, Allah give them lots of sabr, and all the parents who are looking after them also give them all the health and all the air to look after them. My duas go for all the sick people all over the world, in the hospital, at home, the old people who are sick, bedridden. Allah give them shifa kamila, and inshallah Allah bless all the people that are looking after them and reward them abundantly here in the world and in the year after, inshallah. And my advice for you also, Maulana, all the Maulanas of Raji Islam, may Allah bless them, reward them, and grant them the greatest and the award in the world also and in the akhirah. That's my dua for all of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakallah khairan.
Jazakallah. I'm sure that bedridden person, after listening to such wonderful duas, want to wake up from the bed.
Definitely.
Let's continue. You're talking about the person who received the message of his relative passing away in Germany.
I was sent this, or someone had sent this most beautiful message, subhanAllah. I just found it so, let's see where that. Many years ago, my beloved father got an offer for a better paying job. And this, I don't know if we actually get such people nowadays, Marana. A friend of his with 5 children had no work. My dad sent his friend to get that job because he needed it more. 40 years later, even his children remember what my dad did and make dua for him.
Allah.
Allah bless my beloved father. Subhanallah.
Subhan.
Can you imagine, subhanallah, what an amazing quality that وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَسَاسَةٌ. You give preference to others even if difficulty comes your lot. Subhanallah. Mufti Shafi Sahib, Mufti Taqi Sahib, write this incident that they were in the past, the traders of Medina used to be very well known for their honesty, integrity, and compassion. So if, for example, they used to have similar types of goods, and if, for example, a customer used to come, many a time they used to tell the customer, you know what, I've already had 3 to 4 customers. The shopkeeper opposite didn't have 1 customer for the day, you go there to him.
Allah.
He's got the same goods. Subhanallah. Today, if, for example, the supplier supplies you and a new shop comes in and he has to supply the other shop, then you tell the supplier, I'm the one who's buying more from you. If you supply that other one, then I will stop buying from you. Subhanallah. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the situation and how things have changed in terms of our values. I found this remarkable message. Jazakumullah. Well, okay, carry on. This person and the author gives us an example, and he says, I called my brother who told me that his cousin had passed away in Germany, and he had died during the operation. His body was soon to arrive at Riyadh Airport. I prayed for him and thought Allah's mercy for him and ended the call with my brother. My brother sent me a message that our cousin had passed away. He was a distant cousin. I knew him, but I didn't know him too well. A couple of days, or maybe a day or so later, I went to Jeddah for work. I went to the airport, and I saw a group of young people pass by me. When they saw me, they recognized me and greeted me. Some of them were young people with outlandish hairstyles. But I nevertheless joked with them and affectionately teased them. don't look down upon young people who might be a little different. Maybe they might just be getting caught up with the crowd. Don't look down upon them, which unfortunately many of us do. I became busy with a telephone call, and after I finished, I saw another young man wearing trousers and a shirt. And he was dressed the way young people perhaps dress, maybe part of the trend, but not so traditional. And I shook his hand and I said, "What fashion is this? What are you wearing? It is as if today is your wedding day." He might have wearing those type of colors which normally youngsters wear, but of course, some people find it that these colors are outlandish. The young man remained silent for a while and said, "I think you haven't recognized me. I am so and so. I am the son of the very same cousin who had passed away in Germany, and I had brought his body now to be buried." He said, the author said, "I felt if someone had poured a barrel of cold water over me. I was extremely embarrassed. His father had passed away. He was bringing the body, whose body happened to be with him in the plane, and here I had stole him things that were inappropriate, and I joked with him in such a way. This was extremely awkward. I remained silent for a second before replying, 'I'm so sorry. But Allah, I did not realize it was you. I've been here for a few days, you see, may Allah grant you befitting patience and maybe forgive your father.' This was despite the fact that I had an excuse in not realizing who he was, as I used to see him very infrequently. And those occasions when I did see him, he used to be with a traditional dress and headscarf. And here he was with trousers and with a different type of colors. And he surprised me. I did not think that he was a person in question, that he could be the son of my cousin who had passed away. But can you see what happens? So part of having concern for others is to share in their feelings and to show them that you worry about their worries and that you love good for them. You are happy with their goodness. You are happy with their happiness. Huh? You know, today, the way one of our alim says, today, log apne dukh se dukhi nahi, dusro ki sukh se dukhi hai. People are not sad because of their own worries. They are sad over the happiness of others. And for this reason, you will find that the professional companies always have a public relations department whose role is to send seasonal gifts and greetings and so on. Whenever one shows people that they are valued and cared for, that person captures their hearts and they then love him because of that.
And then Malala, the person doesn't mind then going the extra mile.
Definitely.
That's when you...
End of the chapter was such a beautiful thing. You know, just imagine you're coming into a gathering, and it's a full function, right? And whether it be a function where everyone is sitting on the floor, or maybe someone is sitting in the gathering, you know, they're sitting on tables about to eat, and one of your friends said, "I kept a place for you, come sit here." Or someone from the crowd sees you and he said, come here, you know, you are amongst friends, you will feel comfortable when you come sit here. He said, after the entire function, you will remember that action of the friend, that he kept a place for you in a crowded gathering, or he kept a place for you in a function where people were about to eat. You will remember that. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi would give great importance to this. Look at, as he was delivering a sermon once in his pulpit, a Badu appears, walks through the rows, and says in a loud voice, "O Messenger of Allah, I am a person who does not know what his religion is. Teach me what my religion is." Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi descends from his pulpit, turn to the man, ask for a chair, then sit on him, begin to speak to him, although he was a lowly, quote-unquote, in terms of social infrastructure, a lowly person, until he understood, then return to the pulpit. This is a demonstration of having the utmost care for people. Who knows, if he had ignored him, the man may have remained ignorant with regard to his religion until he's died. May Allah give us a tawfiq of following the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Well, Jazakallah khairan for the wonderful program. Inshallah, we pick up next week.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.